Welcome back to another edition of the Perp Light Podcast. This is the fifth episode of Perp Take, where we do a weekly review of all the biggest news in sports. This is Jim and White, joined with Adam Goldsboro and Tyler Zeman. And today we'll be talking about Sidney Crosby's historic game on Saturday, the NBA trade deadline, UFC 234, and some updates on Emiliano Sala.
So to start, Jamin is going to be talking about Sidney Crosby's historic night on Saturday against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right. So currently the Penguins are kind of in like a reloading phase. They haven't had a lot of young talent to really propel them into championship contenders. They're still good, but they're not great. So they're in a little bit of a lull right now. But Saturday against the Tampa Bay Lightning, Sidney Crosby surpassed the all-time great Mario Lemieux in games played as a Pittsburgh Penguin with 916. And it's just significant to see, Mario, we all know his story, one of the greatest hockey players to ever play the game, came to Pittsburgh at a time where they were not very good and no one really cared about hockey in the city, turns him into champions, goes through his phase where he has to deal with Hodgkin's lymphoma and battle back from cancer. And it's just a great story for a great player. And all the connections that he's had with Crosby over the years. You know, Crosby, like, literally lived at his house for, like, the first 3 years he was in Pittsburgh. Something outlandish like that. They've both battled injuries in their past, but they've both ended up being great players that people in Pittsburgh have come to love. So it was really cool to see. Lemieux holds pretty much every major record for the Penguins, along with some that are held by Jaromir Jagr. But it's just cool to see the connection Crosby sort of elevate himself in that kind of game and kind of performance, and not let the emotion of the night get to him too much. All right, so next we're going to head over to Adam, who has some interesting takes on the NBA trade deadline from last Thursday.
All right, so for the NBA trade deadline, it's more about the story of what didn't happen than what did happen. Obviously, everyone was either looking forward to Anthony Davis getting traded to the Lakers, or they were hoping it didn't happen. And it actually didn't happen, surprisingly, but
LeBron didn't talk enough, I guess. He didn't really
get his message heard. No, LeBron and all the tampering didn't do anything.
No.
But, you know, since he didn't get traded, the Pelicans are apparently still going to play him, even though I think it would be better at least to just let him sit out the rest of the season. And then other than that, trades Tobias Harris, it's a game winner, then gets traded at 2 a.m. in the morning to the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers seem like they're trying with this move to compete a lot more in the East. They've been kind of disappointing this year. But, you know, another team that made a move is the Bucks. They acquired Nikola Mirotic. I don't know if he'll start for them. He'll probably be like a sixth man. He could potentially start depending on injuries or how he plays with Giannis, but he should be able to be a nice floor spacer for them. Maybe average close to 17 points a game, maybe more.
And, like, the biggest thing at this point for the Bucks, it's almost like the Cavs from last year, where it's LeBron and others. Yeah. It's been, you know, Giannis, the Greek Freak, and others. So them adding depth was probably something the Cavs failed to do. They just sort of got whoever they could to make LeBron look better, but I think this is going to end up being what makes the team look better for the Bucks.
Yeah, but I would honestly think that Giannis's supporting cast is way better than LeBron's. I mean, Malcolm Brogdon, who people don't know this, but he was a Rookie of the Year. You know, he's young, and he's an extremely good point guard. He has good size, is a great defender, and is very good distributing the balls and is working on his three-point shot. Chris Middleton, I forget if this is his second or first All-Star appearance this year.
I believe this is his first.
Yeah, it is his first, because last year he got snubbed. And then other than that, you know, he's got Brook Lopez, who's playing out of his mind this season. You can see all the highlights of him hitting threes, doing all that stuff that Brook Lopez was really never known for. But hey, with Mike Budenholzer's system, that team kind of works very well. But in terms of other trades, obviously the Dallas Mavericks acquired Kristaps Porzingis from the Knicks. And a lot of people bash on the Knicks for making this move, but frankly, Kristaps Porzingis wasn't going to re-sign with them. Just based on reports, he didn't even go to his exit meeting. he didn't do plenty of things. He could have, you know, he wasn't that enthusiastic about what the team was going for in the future.
Right.
And he did request a trade.
But the important thing to realize, the Knicks have failed to build a team around him. You know, he hasn't had, you know, any playoff experience. There hasn't been any real other star next to him.
Besides Carmelo Anthony.
Right. And he was on the tail end of his career in New York anyway.
Yeah.
But Dallas is making all the right moves to be, maybe not this year, might be a little late, but the next couple of years, you know, they got some key players in place to maybe make a playoff run, maybe make a championship run in a couple of years. We'll see. It's very interesting.
Yeah, the Western Conference is going to look very, at least the playoff picture, it's going to be very
very
chaotic at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, I would love to see if Denver has that number one seed. That'd
Denver
be crazy.
Is probably not going to acquire the number one seed. I think the Warriors are still going to have it. But surprisingly, the biggest surprise of this NBA season, other than the Denver Nuggets, is probably the Sacramento Kings. I mean, they're tied for the eighth seed with the Lakers right now.
Right. And they don't have a
that's
LeBron
amazing.
James.
They did acquire Harrison Barnes over the trade deadline. And Harrison Barnes, people forget just how good he was in Golden State before, obviously, he was traded to Dallas. But, you know, he can be an efficient scorer. He can be a really good defender. He has good size. He has good strength. But I think he's going to be a good piece for them. And he'll probably start. So he should be more effective than he was in Dallas, because he won't be asked to be that big of a playmaker. They have De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley Jr., to really handle all the playmaking. He can just play good defense, hit threes, and drive to the rim on switches and stuff like that. But that, mainly for the trade deadline, that's about it. Nothing really major else happened during the trade line.
Markelle Fultz.
Oh, yes,
Fultz,
that's true.
Markelle Fultz is finally out of Philly.
Former
number one overall pick has been dealt.
He went to the Orlando Magic.
That's right, yeah. Who need a guard, but I don't know if that was the right move.
Markelle Fultz is going to be a long-term project no matter where he goes. I'm rooting for the guy. I mean, I know he's been dealing with some stuff in his personal life, but I'm just hoping he can heal whatever injury he has, whether that's mental or physical, and just get back out on the court, because I really believed that before the draft, he was going to be the best player in that draft easily. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
I mean,
I'm not holding any more hope, really. It could go either way at this point.
He's out of Philly. That's all I care about. You know,
yeah.
We can move on from that.
He didn't really have a future there after, like, the team pretty much said what they wanted and what he wanted. It wasn't the same. Like, the moves that they made during the trading period just obviously showed Markelle Fultz that he needed to go somewhere, and Orlando is in rebuilding, so maybe they could find a few connections down there and
pair him up with Vucevic.
Could
be good.
Turn the team around.
Yeah, him and Aaron Gordon could be a nice young duo, but we'll have to see. He has to get back out on there in the court first, and he has to get his jump shot at least somewhat back before anyone can start making any type of judgments on him. So I guess we'll just see how that works out for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff going on during the NBA trade deadline.
All right, and next to talk about UFC 234, we have Jamin White.
Right, resident UFC expert. And what was supposed to be an interesting matchup between Whitaker and Gastelum ended up getting canceled, unfortunately, for the middleweight title belt. 24 hours before the fight, Whitaker calls the commissioner, Dana White, says, "I can't fight. I suffered a hernia." And obviously, if he got into the ring and that would rupture, that would be much worse than a loss. So kind of disappointing, because that was supposed to be a great matchup in the middleweight division. Certainly, Dana White will look on that in the future. Older fighter, but still, what are you doing a day before the fight that would cause you to get a hernia?
Well, a hernia can be caused by virtually anything. They can just kind of pop up.
But still, like, unexcusable.
At his age, they're relatively
common. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like,
I think it's just
it
bad
sucks.
Luck.
It might have been bad luck, but he was in Australia. You know, he was in his home country. That would have been a great place to defend your title. You know, unfortunate, but certainly the UFC will move on from that. They got some great fights coming up, and to be put in place of that fight, up and coming star Israel Adesanya went up against the legend of the game, Anderson Silva, in another middleweight bout. You know, Israel Adesanya has talked about, I idolize this guy, Anderson Silva, and Silva's been such a class act for so long in the UFC and in MMA, so this is a cool fight to see, sort of a changing of the guard, if you will. The fight went to decision after three rounds. Adesanya would win. He was very gracious for the opportunity to fight someone like Anderson Silva, especially at a young age. This Adesanya guy's no joke, 16-0 in professional fights, never lost a fight. So it'll be very interesting to see where he moves on from there. Maybe he'll jump ahead of Whitaker in the rankings to end up going for a title fight earlier on than expected. And Silva, you know, we don't really know where he's at in his career right now. He said he'd love to fight in Brazil. He's 34-9. He's had the longest title defense in UFC history. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes moving forward. But other than that, great fight. Could have been two great fights. But to see the young star take on the old legend was very cool to see. All right, last but not least, we're going to go over to Z-Man, who has some more updates on Emiliano Sala. If you haven't been paying attention, Emiliano Sala was an up-and-coming soccer player playing in England. And unfortunately, was it last week, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
His plane went down traveling back to England for a game. And, you know, the fans have come out and support the coach, the team. So that was really cool to see, but Zeman has some more updates for us.
Yeah, so over the past week, a lot of tributes have been going out to Salah. And the one biggest thing that's pretty much stirred all this is they have found his body. Last week we were talking about how they had retrieved somebody's body from the plane, carnage at the bottom of the English Canal. But they didn't know quite who it was, but the coroner did identify it as Emiliano Sala, and there has been no evidence of the pilot yet, the second person on the plane. So one of the biggest, youngest, like, stars in the soccer community, Kylian Mbappe, donated $35,000 in order to continue the search to find this missing pilot. And some other things that have just been going on around this, last week during one of the home games at FC Nantes, his previous team, the ball was kicked out of bounds, and a moment of silence during the ninth minute was underway there for Emiliano Sala as he wore the number nine at FC Nantes during his time.
Hey, this was a guy who was, you know, playing in Premier League, already an honor. This guy was up and coming. He was going to be a great bright star in that league, I'm sure. And very sad to see. I'm sure it would have been a great career moving forward. And all prayers and thoughts go out to his family and anyone who knew him. This has been another edition of the Perbalite Podcast, Perb Take, where we do a weekly review of all the biggest news in sports. This has been Jamin White, joined with Adam Goldsboro and Tyler Zeman, now signing off. I'll tell you no matter.